नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड डिविनिटी एंड डिवाइन सर्विस वर्स 6। स वै पुंसं परो धर्मो स वै पुंसं परो धर्मो यथो भक्तिरधोक्षजे यतो भक्तिरधोक्षजे अहायतुकीय प्रतिहता अहायतुकीय प्रतिहता ययात्मासु प्रसीदति ययात्मासु प्रसीदति। सो दैट Why? Certainly. Pumsam. For mankind. Para. Sublime. Dharma. Occupation. Yata. By which? Bhakti. Devotional service. Adokshaje. Unto the transcendence. Ahaituki. Causeless. Apratihata. Unbroken. Yaya. By which Atma, the Self, Suprasidati, completely satisfied. Translation. The supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the Self. Please repeat. The supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the Self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Nainisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. There's one more paragraph, but it's quite long, so we'll just read till here. Om Agyanatimirandasya ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुलङ्कयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्दा. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. So we have begun a very important chapter in the first canto right now. It's called Divinity and Divine Service. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that we should memorize this whole chapter. All the verses of this chapter are so important that Prabhupada gave so much importance to this chapter. So with this verse, the sixth verse that we just read, Suta Goswami has actually started answering the six questions which were posed by the sages of Nainisharanya. So as you all must be aware, there is a meeting going on in Nainisharanya where a huge sacrifice was taking place. And many sages had assembled because Kali Yuga had just started and they were all worried that what is going to happen now. They were seeing all the dark symptoms coming up of Kali Yuga. So they, for the betterment of the human beings of Kali Yuga, all the sages had gathered in Nainisharanya and they were performing a sacrifice. And they had actually made Suta Goswami their leader because they were aware that Suta Goswami was in the assembly of sages when Sukadeva Goswami recited the whole Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And just for the betterment, and because the sages were so concerned about the human beings of Kali Yuga, they had posed six questions to Suta Goswami. And we'll just summarize these six questions. The first question the sages of Nainisharanya had put up was, what is the ultimate good for people in general? The second question was, what is the essence of all the scriptures? The third question was, for what purpose does the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself appear? The fourth question was, please narrate various leelas or pastimes of the Lord to us. The fifth one was, what are the Lord's various incarnations or various leela avatars, purusha avatars? They wanted to know the various incarnations of the Lord. And the last one was, they knew Lord Krishna has left the planet. So after the Lord's departure to the spiritual world, where has religion taken shelter? So these are the six questions which were posed by the sages of Nainisharanya to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami in this chapter starts answering these questions. And in this particular verse, he is answering the first question of the sages of Nainisharanya, which was, what is the ultimate good for people in general? So Suta Goswami answers that by which one can attain to loving devotional service to the Lord, that is the ultimate good for the people in general of Kali Yuga or of any ages in fact. And only such loving devotional service can completely satisfy the self. So we see that love is there in all human beings. In fact, all species of life there is love. We see there is love, like even dogs and cats love their children. In fact, they are much more protective about their children than what human beings are. If a dog has just had some puppies and you go near a dog, actually it can bite you. They are so protective of their young ones. If you go a walk around Albert Park Lake and you see those black swans, they've just given birth to cygnets, and if you go, you're just walking by, but if they feel you're attacking their babies, they actually come to attack you. So there is love in all species of life. People are loving their family, their children, their wife, and then this love extends to the society. Then slowly it extends to the community, then it extends to the city, then to your country, then to the nation, then to the world. So it keeps extending. But till when will it extend? And Srila Prabhupada says, one of the lectures I was reading of Srila Prabhupada, he says in that even though this love will keep on extending throughout this world, it will still not bring any satisfaction to the heart. Unless and until love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Father you know, not just your temporary father or your temporary family you love, but if you have awakened love for the Supreme Father, Shri Krishna, only then it will completely satisfy the self. So this has been reiterated in the Bhagavatam also. In the fourth canto it is mentioned that why when you satisfy Krishna, your heart is completely satisfied. So there is a verse in the Bhagavatam which says, Yatha Saror Moola Nishchanena Tripyanti Tat Skanda Bhujo Pashakha Pranopaharacha Yathendriyanam Tathaiva Sarva Arvanam Achyutejya. So just as by Yatha Taror Moola Nishchanena, just as by watering the root of the tree, all the trunk, Skanda Bhuja, all the trunk, the branches, the twigs, everything is satisfied. Similarly, Pranopaharacha Yathendriyanam, if you feed the stomach, then Indriya, all the Indriyas are automatically satisfied. Not that we take one rasgulla, put it in one eye, and one gulab jamun and put it in the ear. That is not going to satisfy the body, the different parts of the body. Only if you feed the stomach, the whole body will be nourished. So similarly, tathaiva, similarly, all forms of worship, if it is directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyutejya, who is the infallible Lord, then all the demigods and all the living entities are satisfied. So this is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore Prabhupada also mentions that when we love, when we awaken that love, that dormant love in our heart for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Sita Goswami is answering in this verse as well, only then it will completely satisfy the self. Only then it will bring happiness or peace to the heart. Otherwise the heart will keep hankering for love. It will never get perfect reciprocation from these temporary relationships of the material world. So even though the heart, like even though these living beings keep loving different people, they will not get satisfaction of the heart. And we see that to follow this dharma or this religion, which Sutta Goswami is explaining over here, is actually the supreme dharma, which is going to completely satisfy the heart. So following religion or following any form of worship is actually the aim of human form of life. So we keep on worshipping or we keep on loving different living entities, we keep on directing our love to different things in this material world. But actually that is not the ultimate aim which is being talked about in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the religion is the aim of the human form of life. And dharma, Prabhupada mentions that religion or dharma means your occupational duty. So in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, if we read the introduction, Prabhupada gives a very big section on dharma. What is the actual meaning of dharma? So in many places, although Prabhupada does translate dharma as religion, but Prabhupada stresses that dharma is actually the occupational duty or the intrinsic nature of a living entity. So he says that just as the dharma or the intrinsic nature of sugar is sweetness, or of chili is pungent, like to be hot, or of water is liquidity. Similarly, the intrinsic nature or the dharma or the occupational duty of human beings is actually to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is there in every human being. That is our dharma, that is our intrinsic nature. So if dharma is not some faith which can be changed from here to there, that is not dharma, Prabhupada says. Because faith can be changed very easily. Many times people say, oh, dharma means faith, I have faith in this. But after some time, if somebody comes and tells something else, then their faith changes. So Prabhupada says, no, that is not dharma. Dharma is what is intrinsic, what cannot be separated from your nature. Just as sweetness cannot be separated from sugar, or liquidity cannot be separated from water. Similarly, loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead is our intrinsic nature. So we have got this dharma, but we have forgotten what our dharma is. And here it is stated that the supreme dharma for all human beings is that by which we can awaken our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should not waste, because we see that all around us, we see human beings just living life like hogs and dogs. They are just wasting their time in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And directing this, misdirecting this love, which is there dormant, this dharma which is there in their hearts, to all other objects for their sense gratification. So Prabhupada mentions that the dog is also eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Even the hogs are doing that. So the human beings should not waste their time just in doing that. That if we see hogs, even though their food is stool, hogs are so fond of eating stool, So as soon as their body becomes a bit strong by eating stool, what do they immediately want to do? They immediately want to have some sex with their without any discrimination, that too, even with their mother, sister, whoever is there. They just want to have sex as soon as their body has become a bit strong. Then they'll have children, they'll be a bit protective about their children, and then they'll simply die. So Prabhupada says, please don't waste. The human form of life should not be wasted like this, simply like hogs and dogs, in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And this was also explained by Rishabhdev in his teachings to his sons in the 5th canto. So Rishabhdev says, Nayam deho deho brijam naroke, kashtan kaman arhate vidpujanye, tapo divyam putrake yena sattvam, shuddhye yasmad brahma saufyam tvanantam. So he says, my dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form of life, which is very rare to get in this world, should not work hard day and night like hogs and dogs. And they should not simply work for sense gratification or simply work to keep getting food, which is available even to hogs and dogs, Rishabhdev is mentioning. One should engage in penance and austerity. So Rishabhdev is also giving similar teachings to what Suta Goswami is explaining to the sages of Naimisharanya. He is saying that one should engage in penance and austerity to attain divine position of devotional service. So he is also mentioning that that is the supreme occupation for which human beings are meant. They are not meant to live like hogs and dogs. They are meant to reawaken the devotional service to the Lord. Why? Because by such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains the position, this position he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So this verse is so similar to this, the verse 6 in second chapter which we are discussing. That only when you awaken devotional service to the Lord, there will be spiritual happiness. You will get eternal spiritual happiness which will transcend all material happiness. Because material happiness cannot satisfy the self. But we see that all of us, we see around us, all human beings are very proud of their bodies. Not only human beings, even these hogs and dogs which Rishabhdev is mentioning about, they are also very proud of their body. The dogs are proud, oh, I am a bull terrier, I am a greyhound. And you see the big dogs bullying the small dogs when you go out, when you see some dogs, the owners taking their dogs out for a walk. So everyone is proud of their body and everyone becomes attached to the body which has been given to them in this material world. And we know from Shastras the example of Indra. Indra was given the body of a hog because he had done some aparad to his guru. And he had to fall down and he had to tear, because of the curse, he had to take up the body of hog for one lifetime. And then he became so happy in that body. He started eating stool, he was so attached to his wife, he became so attached to his piglets. And Lord Brahma realized that, you know, the administration of heavenly kingdom is not going on very well. So he thought he must bring Indra back. So he went down to that hog and he reminded him that you are not this hog, you are actually Indra. Why don't you come back to the heavenly kingdom? But Indra was so happy in that body. He said, no, I'm very happy in this body. I'm happy in eating stool. Tomorrow my wife is going to come. We are going to have sex. I'm very attached to all my piglets whom I already have. So Indra actually refused to go with Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma had to scare him. He had to show him that tomorrow the whoever was the owner of that farm where the hog was living, he's actually going to kill you. And that awakened, it shook Indra up in fear. And then he said, yeah, I'll return back to the heavenly kingdom. So we see that everyone is attached to the body that they get. And they just want to continue living life like hogs and dogs and cats in the street. And then we see there are some who take up to the spiritual path or who think that, no, I should not continue living my life like hogs and dogs. I should not be so-called human beings who are atheistic, who don't believe in any supreme power. There are few human beings who think differently than these atheistic people who are living like hogs and dogs. And they think that, no, I must acknowledge that there is someone superior who is supplying all my necessities. And they try to take to some path of religion. But then we see that there are so many religious paths being propagated in the world today. And they get confused. People get bewildered, actually, especially in India. We see people get so bewildered because there are so many different religious paths, so many different dharmas which are being, so-called dharmas, which are being propagated by people in general. So they wonder, such people who have started, who have awakened a little bit of inkling to spiritual life, then they wonder, that there are so many religions mentioned in different scriptures, and there are different cultures, different countries following different religions. So it can be quite confusing at times. And which is the right religion which I should follow? This is a question which arises in many seeking spiritualists' minds. So from Prabhupada's teachings, we can however understand that different religions of the world are meant for different purposes. So before we come to what is the highest religion which is mentioned in this verse, we will explore what are the different religions which people get confused by and what is the purpose of different religions. So without realizing there are purposes of different religions, every religion has a purpose in this world, but without realizing the underlying purpose of these different religions of the world, people actually fight. We see so many wars taking place over religion because these are just fanatics who are doing these religious wars without understanding that the purpose of my religion is different than the purpose of another religion. But they think, no, my religion is the best. If they have adopted certain religion in the world, then they think that is the best and everybody else should fall in line with that religion. And this can be explained by an example. For example, like how different religions are meant for different type of people and there are different purposes. So if we go to an elementary school or a primary school, so at that level, what are the children taught? They are taught that 3 minus 2 is 1 or 5 minus 2 is 3. Very basic mathematics they are taught. So even though the teacher who is teaching this mathematics may be a PhD, but that doesn't mean that because he is teaching 3 minus 2 is 1 that the teacher doesn't know that, you know, higher level of mathematics. But he is teaching it because he is teaching it to that level of children. And when as the children progress through their years of schooling, then the teacher will increase the level of math that he teaches to these children. So similarly, different prophets or different messengers of God who came to propagate different religions, they were also like these math teachers. They were catering, they had actually catered their religion to the different levels of people whom they were preaching to. So they themselves were all very God-realized persons. Just as this math teacher is actually a PhD. So it's not that the math teacher only knows 3 minus 2 is 1 or the math teacher only knows 5 plus 2 is 7. No, the math teacher knows very high level of mathematics. But because the audience did not have the ability to digest more than this, that is why the math teacher was just preaching that much or teaching that much. So similarly, all these prophets and messiahs who come in this world, they also teach their messages according to the ability of the audience to digest the message. So we see, for example, Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad who came and preached Islam. He preached the Quran. His audience was actually the degraded and perverted tribesmen of the desert lands. And therefore he had to give messages like it's mentioned in the Quran in the 4th surah in verses 23 and 24. Muhammad had to actually preach, please do not have sex with your own mother and sister. Now such a message is there in the Quran. So does that mean that Prophet Muhammad only knew that much? No, Prophet Muhammad was himself a very God-realized person. He was sent by God to preach the message of God. But because the audience was not ready to digest anything more, and they were actually engaging in such sexual practices, that is why Prophet Muhammad had to give such teachings through his Quran, that please, at least do not have sex with your own wife and, with your own mother and daughter or sister. Similarly, when Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ was also preaching to the fishermen of the area where he was preaching. So these fishermen were not very highly spiritually evolved people. They were also very degraded people. And Jesus Christ addresses them, O men of little faith. That is how Jesus Christ addresses them in the Bible. And we see that such people who were following Jesus Christ, in fact, they were so degraded that one of the 12 apostles, whose name was Judas, he actually sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He was the one who revealed where Jesus Christ is, and that is how the people could just get Jesus Christ and could crucify him. So we see that even though Jesus Christ was himself a God-realized person, he was completely God-realized, but because the people were not ready to accept anything higher, he did not teach everything to them. In fact, Jesus Christ mentions in the Bible to these people whom he was preaching to, he says that there is much more I have to tell you, but you are not ready to take it right now. And whereas in the Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that I have told you all the knowledge, whether phenomenal or nominal, which is there in this world and in the spiritual world, and there is nothing more that I have to tell you. This is what Krishna says to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So this is the difference between these religions. So we see that most of these religions had been preached for a certain purpose and certain audience, based on the ability of the audience to digest. And most of the religions, most of these preachers or these prophets or messiahs who came, they were preaching religion and they were preaching to their people to go to God for at least asking for bread and butter. So most of the religions we see, even in India, if you see different demigod worship or different religious practices which are there, or these religions like Islam or Christianity, most of them are asking the preachers to go to God for bread and butter. Basically they are, but in this manner also we should not think that, you know, these religions are degraded or, you know, do such an apradh or offense in our mind. At least these messiahs are trying to bring these people to the platform of accepting that there is someone superior. It is not that everything is happening by chance. There is someone superior who is supplying all these necessities to you, and you go and ask them for your bread and butter. Don't think that it's automatically going to come to you. So they were at least bringing the people to that level of obedience to the authority of God. But Srila Prabhupada says that this is not actual dharma. This is not the highest dharma, or this is not the highest purpose of religion which we should follow. He says that to go to God for material benefits, he says that God is so merciful that he is giving material benefits, or he is giving basic necessities even to the hogs and dogs. They don't have to go and pray to Krishna. We don't find dogs lining up outside temples praying to them, oh tomorrow where will I get my bone from, or where will I get my meal from. No, Krishna has very mercifully supplied to all of these people, even the lower species of life. So Prabhupada says, please don't waste your time in actually going to God for asking for material benefits, because Krishna will automatically give those to you. But go to Krishna for something else, for something higher than that he can actually give you. And in this connection, there is a story which I had heard. There was once a king in a kingdom, and there were three friends who were doing lots of philanthropic activities in that kingdom. They were helping the poor and they were doing lots of nice work for that kingdom. So this message reaches the king that these three friends are really doing good work in our kingdom. So the king wanted to give them some boons. He wanted to return, like show his gratitude that you are doing so much for the betterment of the kingdom. So I must express some gratitude to you, and I want to give you all some reward. So he calls these three friends, and he asks them one by one, what would you like? I would like to give you some reward. And the first friend says that, oh, I would like to have a big palace. And the king says, okay, I'll get a big palace constructed for you. So he sends him away, and he immediately orders his people to construct a big palace for this friend. Then he asks the second friend, what do you want? So the second friend says that, oh, I want unlimited riches. He wanted lots of riches, some part of the king's treasury or something like that. And the king says, okay, I will give you some wealth, whatever wealth you have desired. And the second friend goes away. And then he asks the third friend, what do you want? And the third friend says that, I want to become your friend. So the king says, are you sure you just want to become my friend? He said, yes, I just want to have friendship with you. So the king says, okay, from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to be your very good friend. And then the king did not realize, but because he had asked for his friendship, so the king used to visit him. The king, because friends visit each other. So because the king had to visit him, the path to his house was paved very nicely, because the king was going to walk through that path. Very nice trees, everything was grown. And now because the king is coming to his house, a big palace was constructed for him. Because how can the king go to a small house? And then whenever he used to visit the king, because he can't go in such ordinary clothes, so he was given very nice clothes to wear. And then whenever he used to come, like how friends are treated equally. So in the palace, he used to eat all the food which is offered to the king. So ultimately he got whatever the other two friends got, but he got much more. So similarly, Prabhupada says that when you go to Krishna, ask for loving relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas. Don't waste your time in asking for petty material benefits, because that is nothing but vanik mentality or banya mentality. So real religion is what this friend asked for, or real religion is what is being propagated in the Bhagavatam, that ask for unalloyed devotion to the Lord. And why it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam like that is because the Bhagavatam is like the Chambers Dictionary. Now when we compare these different religions, we see that some of the religions are giving messages which are not the highest message, or which is not the highest path which human beings have to follow. And this can be compared to a pocket dictionary and the Chambers dictionary. If we read a pocket dictionary and the Chambers dictionary, there are some words which are common in both the dictionaries, and they are commonly used words like eat, sleep, table, chair, you know, all these pillar, very commonly used words you will find in both the dictionaries. But words, complicated words or complex words like, for example, abattoir or corroborate, all these complex words we will not find in the pocket dictionary. Such words will only be found in the Chambers dictionary. So similarly, we see that these different religions, like other religions which we mentioned about, they are like the pocket dictionary. They also have certain messages which will be there in the Chambers dictionary also. Like most of the religions of the world have common messages for bringing people to at least the mode of goodness. Like do not fight, please share, forgive your enemies, love everyone. Such messages we will find in both the dictionaries or in all the religions of the world. But highest messages like this verse 6 which we have just said, that develop unmotivated and uninterrupted love, which is selfless love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such messages which are meant for pure people and which were not meant for the degraded people or the common people of the world who would refer to the pocket dictionary. Such messages are mentioned only in Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, which are the pure Puranas or which are like the Chambers dictionary. So common parts of religion are there in both. But specific parts which are meant only for elevated people, like it is said Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Puranam and it is meant for Nirmat Saranam people, people who are free from envy, people who are coming to the mode of pure goodness by the process of worship. Such instructions are mentioned only in the Chambers dictionary. So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest. The Chambers dictionary, it is the highest form which has been mentioned. And we see that different religions of the world, like this pocket dictionary which we were just mentioning about, they are also propagating the worship in different modes. We see that some of the religions are propagating worship out of bhaya or fear. Most of the, like many religions say that oh God is, you know, he sits on a highly elevated chair on judgment day or doomsday. And then he will send all the people who committed sins, go to hell, go and suffer and burn in hell. So this is, and therefore you should worship and therefore you should not do any sins. So many religions are mentioning like that. So many of these religions are propagating worship out of bhaya or fear of the Lord. But we see, and in many religions it is mentioned that, you know, ladies should keep themselves properly covered and no man is allowed to touch a lady. And there are so many restrictions. But bhaya or fear will never be a correct platform for worshipping the Lord. Because what do people do? In these countries also I've heard where there are so many restrictions on women dressing, covering themselves and men not touching women or even looking at women, otherwise they'll be punished. Then they go out of their country, they enjoy out of their country and they come back. So bhaya is not a very good platform for worshipping the Lord. And that understanding of the Lord, that he is sitting on a highly elevated chair just to give punishment to everyone, that is not also a very high understanding of the Lord. So fear is not a very great motivator for worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the second platform which many religions preach is the platform of worshipping the Lord out of asha or trying to get some form of sense gratification. So Prabhupada says that even Dhruva Maharaj had gone to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of this asha or out of the desire to satisfy his material needs. Even Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom which was greater than the great-grandfather Brahma. And he went to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to ask for that. So his worship was also initially like that. But later on, obviously, when he had darshan of the Lord, he became purified. But initially, he also went to the Lord with asha. But it is mentioned that anybody who goes to worship the Lord out of asha is actually just Vanya or a tradesman who is just trading with the Lord. I am worshipping you, you supply me these and these material necessities or you satisfy these material desires of mine. So that is the second platform. The first platform is bhaya, where, you know, many religions promote that God is going to punish you, so please go and worship the Lord, fear the Lord. Like that. And the second platform is asha, where people are, it is a bit higher platform than bhaya, that at least you know you are going not just out of fear, but you are going to satisfy your material desires. Then the third platform of worship which many religions propagate is Kartavya Buddhi. Kartavya Buddhi means worshipping the Lord out of a sense of duty. And this platform is definitely higher than the first two, than the platform of Bhaya and the platform of Asha. Because in this platform, Kartavya Buddhi or sense of duty means there is some gratitude which has awakened in the heart that okay, there is a supreme power who is supplying my necessities to me and therefore I should be grateful to that supreme power and I should somehow show my gratitude by worshipping him. I should do this puja, I should do this yajna, I should do this sacrifice just to satisfy him because he has actually given me so and so necessities. And this example we find actually in the Krishna book where Nanda Maharaj wanted to worship Indra. And he was saying, he explained to Krishna when Krishna asked him, what are you doing? He explained to him that we are trying to do this sacrifice for Indra because he supplies us rain. So it was a sacrifice meant, the purpose was gratitude, to show gratitude to Indra. And the fourth platform, which Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, like these Amala Puranas, which are the Chambers Dictionary, propagate, is the worship out of raga or attachment to the Supreme Lord. So this worship is actually totally selfless. There is no bhaya in that, there is no asha in that, or no desire for sense gratification is there. Like it is mentioned in this verse, it is completely unmotivated and uninterrupted. And there is no kartavya buddhi also in that. Although devotees are grateful to the Lord, but they are not worshipping out of that platform alone. They are worshipping the Lord only because they have developed that selfless love for the Lord. And only this platform of worship can completely satisfy the heart of the human beings. Even on material platform when we see, like why this selfless love is so much propagated. So even on the material platform if we see, when there is selfless love, then there is so much satisfaction to the heart. For example, we see in our own life, like I know devotees don't go to restaurants, but if someone has gone to a restaurant and he is paying money and the waiter is serving that person, he is smiling and he is serving, but the same food is being served by the mother at home. What gives more satisfaction? The mother is serving out of selfless love to the child and therefore that food is more satisfying and that love is also more satisfying because there is no motive behind that love of the mother for the child. And there is a very nice pastime I heard of one devotee who was visiting, who was going through a village and he was going in his car and the car broke down in the village. And they called a mechanic and the mechanic said it will take some time to fix the car and it was almost the night time was approaching. So this devotee was worrying, oh I'll have to now go and stay somewhere, and it was a village, there were no hotels or anything like that in that village. So he saw there was a farmer's house and the farmer was standing outside and the farmer saw this person is in trouble, his car has broken down and he's looking for some place to stay. So the farmer actually went out and invited him to stay in his house. And he said, you please come and spend the night, I will give you whatever you want and I will look after you, but you please come to my house. So the devotee goes to this farmer's house and the farmer gives him all the ingredients for cooking his bhoga and for offering to the Lord and eating, and he looks after all the needs of the devotee very nicely. So in the morning when the devotee was about to leave, he thought he must reciprocate with this farmer. So he gives some 200 rupees or something, he tries to give some money to the farmer. And the farmer says, no, I don't want anything. I just served you because you are my guest. And for us, guests are like God. So you gave me an opportunity to serve you. So the devotee kept insisting, no, you must accept something from me. Please accept some money from me because you looked after me so well. But the farmer said, no, I'm completely satisfied. I'm just happy that I got the opportunity to serve you. So I don't want anything from you. And then the devotee was so touched by this farmer's selfless love that he told him, he gave him his card and he said, do you ever visit Bombay? That devotee was from Bombay. And the farmer said, yeah, sometimes when my tractor is not working well and I have to get some parts, I do visit. So the devotee said, then you please come to my house and I want to reciprocate by serving you also. You come and stay with me. Now if we see the same example and we compare it to a hotel, for example, if this devotee would have gone and stayed in a hotel, maybe the waiter over there in the hotel or people who are in charge of that hotel, they would have given him a nice room, they would have served him nicely. But was that selfless love? No, the hotel people are just doing that because they are getting paid, they are getting money for that room which the devotee lived in. But because this farmer did this selfless love, that is why this exchange was there, he gave the card. The devotee would not have given his card and invited that hotel owner, oh you please come to Bombay and stay with me. No, it would just have been a transaction. He paid him money, he gave him a room and that would have been over there. But because the farmer looked after him so well and selflessly served him, that is why this devotee was so happy, and we see, saw this exchange taking place. So even on material platform, selfless love is glorified so much. So what to speak on the spiritual platform? And that is what is being propagated in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that develop this uninterrupted and selfless love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because only that is going to satisfy your heart completely. And even Prahlad Maharaj promotes this, like says this in his prayers to Narasimha Dev in the 7th canto. Prahlad Maharaj, because Narasimha Dev was again and again coaxing Prahlad Maharaj that you please ask me some boon, you please ask me some boon. And Prahlad Maharaj says that, no, my Lord, one who desires some material benefits in exchange for devotional service unto you cannot be a pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profits for his service which he has rendered to you. So I don't want to fall into that category, Prahlad Maharaj says, of banya mentality or vanik mentality, where there is an exchange taking place that I serve you and you also give me some material benefits. But I want the highest love for you. In fact, in the next verse he prays that please bless me that I never get any material desires in my heart, so that I have to come to you to satisfy those desires. So Prahlad Maharaj is also propagating what Suta Goswami is telling the sages of Naini Sharanya, that the highest worship to the Supreme Lord is one which is born out of selfless love. And many people go through these different religions which we just mentioned, and some of them get dissatisfied. And then they say that, no, I don't want to follow these different religions because there are so many wars happening in the name of religion. So for me, what is supreme is service to mankind. And they say service to mankind is service to God. So there are many people who are propagating this path of religion as well. In fact, I remember when we were living in Japan, this was almost 10 years ago, Kaunteya Prabhu, who is the minister for congregational preaching, I think, he had come to our house to give a lecture over, to all the people who had come. And there was one question one person had asked in that audience, I still remember distinctly. He had also asked the same question. Because Kaunteya Prabhu was propagating how, you know, service to the Supreme Lord should be awakened in the heart and all that. And he said that, no, there are so many wars happening on the name of religion. And I've become fed up, I'm frustrated with following any type of religion. So for me, only service to mankind is supreme. Because when you serve mankind, you are serving the Lord. And he quoted a famous slogan which says that, Manav Seva, Madhav Seva. Manav means human beings and Madhav means God. So he says, Manav Seva, Madhav Seva. And Kaunteya Prabhu replied to him. He said that everything that rhymes is not the truth. So even though it's nicely rhyming, Manav Seva, Madhav Seva, but that's not the absolute truth which has been propagated in the scriptures. Because we see, when we try to serve humanity, when we try to serve mankind, let's say you give them some food, you give them some money, or you give them some clothing, it is not going to completely satisfy their desires. In fact, by giving, we may be actually rekindling their greed for getting more and more and more. Or even if some hospitals are open for curing the disease, so the disease people will come to the hospital, they will get cured, but when they go out, they may continue their sinful activities. Or if you give some money to some person, he might misuse that money for continuing his sinful activities. He might misuse it for smoking, drinking, eating meat, we don't know. So therefore it is said that rather than doing this service to mankind, but, and it is not that we are against, you know, we are not feeling any empathy for people who are suffering, and when they are suffering we say no, service to mankind is not important, I will only serve the Supreme Lord. No, we also have programs like Food for Rice, we also, like Prabhupada said, in fact when he was in Mayapur, that no one around any ISKCON temple, I think 10 miles or something, should go hungry. But we don't just give them food, we give them prasadam. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to keep Krishna in the center, and through that we are trying to love other human beings. Just as like a child is lost in a fair, you give them all sorts of things, you give him chocolates, biscuits, this, that, but that is not going to satisfy that child. Only when you reunite that child with his father, then the child is going to be satisfied. So similarly, whatever the situation a person may be, still his supreme duty is to reawaken his love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if we are suffering, even if we are in a very good state, we are diseased, we are not well, we are materially very happy, we are materially impoverished, whatever situation we may be in, the supreme dharma or the supreme occupation for all kinds of humanity is that we should awaken our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what, in fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also tells Prabhupada. When Prabhupada, first time Prabhupada's friend, when Mr. Naren takes Prabhupada to meet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells Prabhupada that you young gentlemen, y'all should go to the West and preach in English language. And that time Prabhupada challenges in the sense he questions Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. He said that what we will go and preach, India is still under the British rule. We are not even a free country. We are not even independent. So right now the priority is to make India free. Only then people will hear our message. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, Krishna consciousness is so urgent that it cannot wait for anything. So it is not that first you become free or first you become materially, raise your situation from materially impoverished to materially happy. No, Krishna consciousness or awakening this love, dormant love for Krishna, cannot wait for any situation in life. And that is what is being propagated, that please awaken your supreme dharma or your dormant love for Krishna and let it be uninterrupted and unmotivated. Let it be completely selfless. Only that platform is going to completely satisfy or going to bring eternal happiness to us. So I'll end over here. It's time and I'll see if anybody has any questions or comments or corrections.
You mentioned that Lord Narasimhadev inspired the material desires. Do you want to elaborate on it? Because it's written in Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 88th verse, that Lord Narasimhadev fulfills all the material desires. So can you elaborate on it, please?
I'm not sure which verse you're referring to, Brahma.
18th chapter, 8th verse.
If you are aware, can you tell us about that verse, please?
But how? Only Narasimhadev is mentioned because any incarnation of God you can follow and they will fulfill the material desires. Why only Narasimhadev? This is what I mentioned.
I'll have to refer to the section. I really don't remember where about Narasimhadev is mentioned. But Keshav Prabhu always says, like when we are studying in Bhakti Vaibhav, he always says that there is a certain context to different verses. So sometimes we just don't pick up a certain verse and read it in isolation without referring to other, like the context of the Bhagavatam. So maybe there is a certain context which is there for that verse, for Narasimhadev being mentioned. I'm not sure. But he is also the Supreme Lord, so he is non-different from Krishna. So.
And do you think Krishna got at the sign of the
Lord? Sorry?
And do you think Krishna got at the sign of the
Lord? Prabhupada explains in various books, especially in the Science of Self-Realization, where he compares Christianity and Krishna consciousness. So he has elaborately taken the teachings of Bible, like where Jesus Christ has preached. And he says that wherever Jesus Christ has preached, he has always mentioned that love thy father who is in heaven, or please chant the names of thy father. So Jesus Christ always kept on telling people to worship thy father, your father. And Prabhupada says that thus Jesus Christ was, and it is also mentioned in the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God. So this God whom, or the Father whom Jesus Christ is mentioning to worship about, to worship is actually Lord Krishna. So Jesus Christ was a messenger, Prabhupada mentions, he was a messenger who was sent, or God was so merciful to his children who were suffering in the material world that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to preach message which was suitable for that sort of audience whom he was preaching to. So he's actually the messenger or the son of God.
I think it's true in the sense that service to mankind is the same as service to God, in the sense that you tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and you turn their face towards Krishna consciousness. So in that sense,
yeah, if you consider it from the point of view of three, she was saying service to mankind is service to God. So if we are preaching the message and we are telling them to turn to Krishna, then it is service to God. But that what Mataji is saying is correct, because preaching is, if you are preaching to Krishna, Krishna in fact says that the one who preaches my glories is the most dear to me. So, but when generally people are talking about service to mankind and service to God, means they actually don't want to serve God, but they just want to do philanthropic activities. And they feel that by doing philanthropic activities they are serving God, but that platform is not true. Anything else?
Do Lord Krishna knows or he sees that his people when we suffer from this world.
Does Lord Krishna see that people are suffering in this world? So first of all, Lord Krishna is omniscient, like he is omnipotent and omniscient. So there is nothing which is out of his purview or out of his observation. Secondly, he is there as Paramatma in the heart of every living being, of every atom in this material world. He expands and he comes as Paramatma. So he is obviously aware. So that answers part of your question. But the second part is that this material world, this whole material world was created by Lord Krishna just to satisfy his children. And there is a very good example which Prabhupada always mentions, that for example there is a father who is driving a car and the son also develops a desire. He has a young boy who develops a desire to drive the car. So the father is not going to allow the son to drive the car. And why he will not allow? Not because he doesn't love, but because in fact, out of love, he will not allow his child to drive the car because it might be dangerous for the child to drive the car. But to satisfy that child, because he loves him so much, he will take him to go-karting or that electric cars which are there in, you know, various theme parks and all. So he will take him there, or he will take him to those virtual games where, you know, you sit and you feel as if you're driving. And that way the child will get the satisfaction that he has driven a car. So in the same way, all the conditions, so like all some of the children of Krishna developed a desire that I want to enjoy like Krishna. And therefore Krishna created this material world. And Krishna actually explained that, you know, if you go to the material, you cannot enjoy separately from me. But some children developed that desire that, no, I want to enjoy like Krishna. And therefore the material world was created, and all those people who wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna came down to this material world. But again, the Lord was so merciful that he did not just, okay, you go there and you suffer. He did not do that. He came with all of us as Paramatma. So that any time we show our face, like we show an inclination to turning back to Krishna, then that Paramatma helps us to again come back to God and go back to the spiritual world to be with Krishna eternally. So he does know he is there with us because he is witnessing all the activities. But that is out of his mercy that he has created this material world, because we all wanted to enjoy separately from him.
Not only the Paramatma, he comes as incarnation also.
Yes.
Like Mahaprabhu came to me by the
way. Yeah, I was just thinking about Prabhupada as well.
Yes, he comes, thank you Prabhu, he comes in different incarnations also to take all of us back. He comes himself, he sends his representatives like Prabhupada, Jesus Christ, he keeps sending all these representatives also to bring all of us back to the spiritual world. Anything else? अंतराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की।